Oh, this is what you've all been waiting for weeks. I was going to bring a big stack of paper in here just to scare you. But I decided, you know, I didn't want to have to carry it around because then I had to carry it back out. So I thought that would be just a little overkill, so I didn't do that. It's wonderful to be here with you today to present the morning message. I was thrilled when Julie called and asked me several weeks ago because they're in Boston visiting David, which I think is great. And I told her, yeah, I'd love to do it. But then the minute you hang up the phone or disconnect from the cell phone, it hits you that you've got to pick something to talk about. And the Bible is an extremely rich source of topics and things to talk about. So it took me several weeks to figure something out. Well, thinking about memories, because she kind of hinted that she wanted me to talk about memories, I started thinking about pens. You know, lapel pens and tie tacks, different kind of pens. And I have this special little kind of jewelry box memento keepsake thing that I keep special pens in. So I went there first. I thought I'd search out the pens. And yeah, there's life achievement things, there's job retirement things, mostly my dad's. A political campaign button from a guy that was elected before you went to bed one night and in the morning he wasn't. I don't remember his name. Some may. I'm very young, very young. This is all fake, but no. Okay. Tie tacks, cufflinks, all those kinds of things, rotary pens. And I thought, no, I didn't want to do that. I also had my bluebird pen and my campfire pen. And some of you may have some of those things too. And if you think back, you might have some hidden away in a drawer someplace. And sometime I invite you to pull them out and think about those things that you did with those groups and how you received those pins. Because for a lot of us, and maybe a lot of you, those are the start of our memories that lead us to church, the community that we engaged in Bluebirds, those community service things that we did. Walking around and shaking somebody's hand and smiling as a little girl. Think about those things, because it might put a smile on your face. I also had a Lambda Alpha Epsilon pin, because I was in a law enforcement fraternity in college. If you wanted to shoot on the pistol team in college, you had to be a member of the sponsoring fraternity. So I wanted to do that. So sure enough, I have my college pin. I discarded the idea about using pens for the most part because that would have been 2 hours. I have a lot of pens. Anyway, Julie wanted me to tie this into the regional gathering that we're sponsoring here next week. As most of you know, we have been asked to host the regional gathering for the Christian Church Disciples of Christ of the Pacific Southwest region. Blah, 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 blah. What a mouthful. I mean, that's just a name that you type it on an envelope and it's like three lines. It's quite a bunch to say. What it means, though, is that we are one of 109 churches that belong to the regional church of the Pacific Southwest region, this region, and those churches rest in locales from Hawaii to Morro Bay to Bakersfield to Las Vegas down to the Mexican border and back up. It's a very vast area. So all of those churches and their faith community, which is you, have been invited to come here. That's a lot of people. They're expecting about 400. So this place next weekend will come alive for a day, and then Sunday morning we're all staggering here and be grateful that the day before went so well, because it will. It will go remarkably well. We come together, the region, every year for a gathering or an assembly, and the host church prepares their church for them to come in, and they have workshops and worship, exhibits, a meal. In this case, we're going to have two meals here, breakfast and lunch, and everyone is invited to partake. And the idea behind it is it's a corporate board, so you have to meet with your corporation body periodically. That fulfills the requirement of the state of California. But the second thing is that we're called to make disciples of all the nations. It was read in scripture this morning. And this is one way that we spread the word, give life to the word, and move the word forward through a bunch of people that are coming together to have a good day. This takes a bit of planning on our part to make sure we have everything in place to make everyone comfortable and the event to go very smoothly. I was in charge of a three-day assembly in Bakersfield in 2002, and I wanted to send everybody home with a memory. I think memories are wonderful. So we decided to have a 178-foot-long ice cream sundae at the end of the event. Tom Reed, I think you were there. Some others might have been there. Anyway, 178 feet of ice cream. So we went out and we bought brand new rain gutters. We didn't rip the old ones off the building. And we got brand new tin foil, put them all together on tables out in the parking lot, put tin foil in it, and we had this great group of women scooping ice cream for what seemed like forever. And then we had toppings and spoons and bowls and anything you wanted to use to enjoy this ice cream time with everybody that was there. It was a memory. It was a great memory. It really was. I have to admit, however, that I wasn't there to clean it up. So I'm not sure exactly how big of a mess it was, but it was in the parking lot. So I thought, you know, we could probably just hose it down. So anyway, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun. We all have memories. I have two early memories. One before I was 18 months old. I'm sure you might have some too. Robin does. I talked to Robin about it. I know this because I was with my grandfather who died on September 18th, 1952, in a bus crash on the Altamont Pass outside Livermore. This is the only memory I have of him. I was sitting on a table. He was peeling grapes, hence the grape leaves. He was peeling grapes and he was feeding me grapes. I was by a window at the table. There was a refrigerator and a stove across the room. And I used to think about it, but I didn't know what it was until one day when I was 8 or 9, I asked my mother about it, and she was kind of stunned, and she says, well, that was your grandfather's house in Turlock. We lived in Modesto. And I said, oh, I remember him feeding me grapes, and she started crying, and I said, well, no, I just remember him feeding me grapes. Anyway, that was a time that just stayed with me. You know, it just stayed with me. He loved me. He was feeding me grapes. The second memory, I think, I was younger because I was laying on the ground under grape vines. There's a theme here. I don't know why, but my grandmother was picking grapes. I remember looking up and seeing the grape leaves moving in the breeze. She would pick a bunch of grapes, put them in a wooden box, about the size of the old Coca-Cola things that you'd get Coke in. And somebody would come by and pick it up and put an empty one down. And then she'd pick me up and move me down the row and she'd do some more. And I couldn't get up, so I know I was very young. But it was a good memory. But my grandmother was always working, all the time working. She worked in the canneries in Modesto, and when the fruit that the cannery was contracted to process was not in season, she did seasonal work in the fields to bring money in. Both my grandmothers were immigrants, one from France through Canada to here, and the other one from Hawaii long before statehood. My grandma Jessie, the grape lady, was the first to really teach me about Jesus. I don't remember ever going to church with her, but I think church with her was the land. She'd worked the land, she'd worked the plants, and she worked animals. She had a field that she used to lease to people for cows and pigs and all sorts of variety of things. She was born in Hawaii long before statehood, raised in a very, very poor household. Her great-grandparents were born, raised, and married in Portugal. They had little to live on and found themselves with a daughter, Mary. They were so poor that they left Mary with a family in Portugal, got on a boat, traveled around South America, and landed in Hawaii. Hawaii was the chosen land back then. And it was a very, very dangerous trip, and it took months to get there. Not like today. After they survived the journey, they had another daughter. And they missed Mary one so bad that the second daughter was named Mary as well. Several years later, Mary one traveled to Hawaii and joined the family with Mary two. My grandmother is a product of Mary two. Anyway, back in Hawaii, Graham learned the land, raising land stocks and growing crops to feed the family. As I said, working the land and working in the soil was Jesus to her. It was church. She would talk about Jesus when we visited. How many of you remember the Bible story books that you used to see in the doctor's offices? We had a turquoise colored cover. I have a full set. She gave them to me when I was little, along with my first Bible. I have them packed away, probably in the garage, but anyway, they're there. My other grandma, Maria Alphonsine, came to America very early as well. The family was from France, traveled to Quebec, Canada, and came through Ellis Island, where they changed her name. She was one of 16. All the children were born at home. Four of them died at home, two on the same day. It was an interesting time. Her first job, she told me she made 32 cents a week. And she got like 2 cents, and the rest went to the family, to support the family. It was a very, very rough time. But she was deeply, deeply religious, went to Mass every chance she had. She'd be at church when there wasn't a Mass. She would literally hang out at the Catholic Church. I remember this because she had to share a room with me when she moved to California when I was in junior high, before she got her own place. She had raised four boys. One was a boxer, of all things. Anyway, she raised four boys in a tenement home in New Bedford, and she was a self-taught beautician, and she had a beauty shop on the first floor. The boys all turned out very well, including my dad, and then she came to California. She decided she wanted to have a driver's license. So she got the book, she studied, passed the test the first time out, and immediately drove to the Catholic Church on Central in Montclair to pray and light a candle. She was very religious, and she took me to church with her all the time. I remember the little white thing, cloth thing I had to wear, doily, I had to wear on my head. I remember not understanding anything because it was in Latin, but I loved being there. I really, really loved being there. As a family, my mom was Baptist and my dad was Roman Catholic because of his mother. We would go to the Baptist church at Holton Gary. Interestingly enough, never got involved like the members here. As far as I knew, there were no committees, no outreach committee, no fellowship events. Maybe it was just my family didn't go to them. But afterwards, on special holidays, my dad would take me to Mass, usually midnight Mass. And I loved the lyrical sound, the music quality of the Latin. It was just rhythmic when the priests would talk, and I was just so absorbed. Didn't have a clue what they were saying. But it was amazing to listen to this music, vocal music, in the church. So fast forward to college. I got involved with a group of Christian kids on campus because I was there by myself and I didn't know anybody, which is okay. It's kind of like Chapman. We have disciples on campus at Chapman, and this was kind of the same thing. They came from every denomination. And we all went to a Baptist church in Modesto. It's a huge church. It's still there today. Some of you have heard me say this, but the minister would give a call, which I'll do today if I remember, after his sermon every week, and then there'd be music, and everybody would be singing, and the piano or the organ would be playing. And all of a sudden, while he's standing up there, he'd throw his arm up in the air, and he'd say, "Stop!" And he'd look out and he'd say, "Chris Abbott, I know you want to join this church today. Now's the time. Come on up here." And you'd kind of go. Yeah. I sat way in the back row. it was really, really frightening. I was not happy. Then I met some kids at a baseball game, a college baseball game, and there was family there, and they invited me to a spaghetti dinner. At where? A Catholic church. So I went with them, and I had such a great time. The priest and the nuns were there, and they ate with us, and they fixed the food, and they were playing games with the kids, and I think the priest was playing basketball. So every week for a semester that I can think of, I went to the Catholic church for dinner. Never went to church there, but that spaghetti dinner was church. It was amazing to see how everybody responded to these people and how warm and loving they were. It's kind of like what we do here when we have fellowship events here and we welcome people in and Mike and Julie come out and talk to us and invite us and they teach the kids and sing with the kids. It was the same kind of thing, and I loved it then and I love it now. When my children were 3 and 5, they became friends with the Meathy children. Larry and Janice, their parents, were members here, and it was the first time we had friends that were church friends and friends outside of church. The kids were in Logos together. We moms worked in the kitchen, cooking macaroni and cheese forever. Kids love macaroni and cheese, and I think Julie used to call it food of the gods because the kids would be quiet and eat their mac and cheese. We also served at table as table parents. That's how I got to know Ken Mock, Ed Burton, and Rhodes Thompson. The women on kitchen duty evolved into a women's group that forged bonds between us that we still have here today. We were disciples, strengthening our love for Jesus, our love for our kids, this church, and each other. We met for years in each other's homes for study and song, in retreat for study and song, and here at church for more study and more song. All my memories have led me to this place in my faith. Do we start out as children believing in the birth of Jesus, in a stable with wise men and animals? No, we don't. But we believe in Christmas as children and Santa Claus. As we get older, mature, study, and come to know, we realize that Christmas and Santa Claus are symbols of a greater thing. Our faith matures and grows through our memories of experiences over time, and those are what cement our faith. So next Saturday, we are hosting about 400 people, inviting them to spend a day learning, hearing, and sharing their faith, making disciples of all the nations. We will start the day with a light breakfast, continental style, move into a worship time with a guest speaker who will address our theme, Faith in the Tension. We will break for workshops, of which 16 are scheduled. There will be 24 exhibitors to check out along the way. The exhibitors will represent outreach units and program of the region. Then we will break for lunch, which will be provided by a local caterer, then more workshops. We will finish up the Saturday for a closing worship with communion and offering. And the offering will be divided between Camp Scholarships, Hope Partners Food Bank, and Week of Compassion to address the natural disasters around the world. This will be my 15th event that I've worked on. It's probably going to be my last because I'm, you know. The second one was here. We hosted the same event in 1999. I have amazing memories of each of one. Of course, the 178-foot ice cream sundae at Bakersfield. But at Bakersfield, Asa Moore, who is the son of Pam Moore, the pastor of First Christian Church San Bernardino, he was involved in the youth program. There was a youth skit, and he stood in the front of the sanctuary like this. And the kids, one by one, came up to him and hung backpacks on his arms and jackets over his shoulders and more backpacks and more jackets and more clothing and more backpacks. And pretty soon his arms started going down. The burden was unbearable for you or me. But he stayed there, and he steadfastly stood for the whole time. It was a powerful, powerful moment, and that's one I'll never forget. We also had a group of drummers that came in to the University Christian Church in San Diego that drummed as they came in, a very low drum. And the youth came in and did a skit while they drummed 15 minutes through the whole thing. It was amazing. It was just amazing. And then we had an event at Riverside where all the power went out. And we just moved forward with what we were doing, and eventually the power came back on. Memories are made of this. Our faith, what we believe, has been shaped over time and is embedded in our memories like our eye color is embedded in our DNA. From the first time we entered a church or the first time we got down on our knees before bedtime and said the prayer most of us were taught that starts with, "Now I lay me down to sleep," and ends with, "God bless mommy, God bless daddy, and amen." I remember placing my offering in the baskets on Sunday morning, carrying my Bible to Mass, even though I couldn't read it, covering my head in a Catholic church. I remember singing Alleluia and Amazing Grace, and I didn't even know what it meant. But I was part of that body. I was singing along with everybody that was there. I remember things that I've shared with all of you, weddings, like Jessica and Mike Ellis, memorials like Laddie's, my dad's, Sid Hunter's. Sid Hunter wanted "The Eye Is on the Sparrow" to be sung at his funeral, and we did, and I remember that. Dinners like Christmas dinners. We used to have Christmas dinners here where people would sponsor a table and bring in their china and their flatware and their glasses, and they would decorate. And we sat at the Wolfersburgers table one year, and they had brought in a, and I don't know what it's called, you guys probably do, but it's one of those candle things. They're from, I think, Germany, and you light the candles and the heat develops and it makes them spin as they, I was fascinated. It was like a gift just to look at that. It was amazing. They bought that in Germany and brought it home. They shared that with all of us, and it was an amazing thing. Retreats. The mom's group used to retreat in Pacific Palisade at a place called Aldersgate, where there was a cook that cooked for us. It was pretty cool. Up to 16 women would come together for crafts, study, music, and the dreaded quiet time. We'd go to pack up because we had to be out of there at a certain time, and Julie would say, "Okay, we're going to do this quietly. No one say a word. This is time to think and meditate." I'm not big on meditation. So Lucy Richardson, a former member of this church, and I would look at each other and burst into laughter. We had to walk around like this because we'd laugh. It was crazy. But that was the best of times. And we remember so much from that. Each of us, upon entering the chapel there that we were able to use for the first time, would grab the rope and pull it and ring the chapel bell and shout, "I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I'm 66, but I am a child of God." And so are all of you. And then there's Bob Wilson. Most of you remember Bob, but for those of you that don't know him, didn't know him, and don't remember him, he was like Santa Claus. He had these amazing blue eyes, and when you talk to him and he'd smile, his whole face would crinkle up in a smile, like Santa Claus, little rosy cheeks and everything. He had a twinkle in his eyes, his face would light up. In his later years, he couldn't come to church. So we would Skype with him from his home. Julie and Mike would set up a computer so he could listen to everything. Cancer had taken a toll, but he wanted to be with us. He loved the music, the church, and us. So the tradition was started that while our organist played at the end, the piece that he plays at the end, we would all stay and listen with Bob. We still do that today. That's how important that became to us. That's church. That's our church. So memories are made of this. Our faith is developed through our memories. We all contribute to each other's faith. All of you have contributed to my faith, one way or the other. All good. All good. Jesus is what connects us, but how we live with our memories binds us. I hope you will join us next Saturday for the gathering to help us make disciples of all the nations and to make some memories too. And make some memories today. Amen. I invite you to stand and sing